In studio this morning, Julie Brown with Ben Parks and Rec. Julie, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you.
You too.
So we've had all this fire and smoke in the outlying areas. We didn't really get, not so far, haven't been hit bad with smoke, but that's got to have an impact on all the different activities that Ben Parks and Rec does throughout the summer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, all those firefighters and the emergency management folks, they're working so hard, and we're all super appreciative of all the things that they're doing. But so by comparison, I would say that some of the decisions that we've had to make when air quality kind of starts to take a dip, they kind of pale in comparison. But I think it is helpful to kind of know, how do we make those type of decisions? And we did have one day last week when the air quality was poor enough that we did have to have some delays and some cancellations. So generally for us, when the air quality index gets to 150, kind of between that 150 and 200, is when we really start making some choices and looking for ways to maybe relocate camps in particular, our youth camps that we run all summer. If those were intended to be outdoors all day for a 6 to 8 hour chunk of time, that's when we get to 150, we're looking to relocate those indoors. So we did have to do that for several of our camps last week on one day. One of the cool things, and we started doing this a few years ago, is we sit down with the school district, who were big partners. You know, they don't have any pools, we don't have any gym spaces, so we have a really important relationship between the two of us. So before we even get into the summer, we sit down with the school district and identify what are some of those school locations that we might just keep in reserve for backup. If we need to relocate a camp, where might those go? So that has been super helpful because we're still up nice and early and looking at those air quality index readings and then making those determinations, but it can be kind of a quick pivot for us. So we did some of that. We did have a few camps. It's real hard to relocate a golf camp, for example, indoors. So we did have a few cancellations, but we recognize that a lot of those summer camps really are important childcare for families. So if we have the option of being able to relocate it indoors, do similar activities, that's always going to be our preference. And also for our activities, maybe it's drop-in activities at the outdoor pool at Juniper, for example. We try to keep those open even when the air quality is between 150 and 200. We want to make sure that, you know, people have that option of making that choice for themselves. But even when the air quality gets to a 200 reading, that's when you're going to start see us closing down those outdoor pools. We're very fortunate to still have two other indoor pools that people can continue to use in those indoor spaces. But that gives you a little idea of how and what types of decisions we're making when we have those poor air quality days. The best advice I can give anybody is to take a peek at our website before you leave home for any of that activity. Right on the homepage, we have a listing of anything that we have delayed or canceled. So we keep that up to date throughout any sort of a questionable air quality day. So it's a good reminder just to do that. Obviously, with camps, we do our absolute best to get in touch with parents or guardians 1 to 2 hours in advance, if we can, so that they can kind of make other plans. But especially with the wind, it's very hard to predict it, and sometimes those changes do come on really suddenly. So we're going to continue doing our best. You know, it's pretty early in the season. I expect that we are going to continue to have to be making these decisions for the next several weeks.
How do you get a hold of the parents, especially when it's, you know, these childcare concerns? Is it like an automatic text that goes out?
Yeah, and email. So when families register for the program, that's when we have the contact information for them. So we make use of that to the best of our abilities, trying to get in touch with people to share that information. And then for those drop-in activities, we don't have that same ability to reach out to people. So that's when the website is even more important, to take a look at that before you head out.
When you look at air quality, are you looking at several different sites, or you're looking at several different locations where this area is okay, but that area is not?
Generally, we stick pretty closely for our decision-making to the Oregon Air and the DEQ sensors. And we've kind of picked the one, it's at 8th and Emerson, to make as many of our decisions that are district-wide. We've looked at that before, and I think for the consistency is what's most important for us. We recognize that the air quality could be vastly different from the west side to the east side, but for making some of those decisions, we've decided to just kind of land on one.
Well, let's hope you don't have to make those decisions very often for the next few weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's talk about some of the projects. We haven't talked about those for a while.
I know. I mean, this has been a busy year for us project-wise, and we are getting ready in the next few weeks to kind of wrap up a couple of really important projects. And at the same time, we're launching a couple more. So that tends to be how we always do it. But two projects that we have been working on and are getting ready to wrap up here soon. First one being Pine Nursery Park. I think we've talked about this before. Pine Nursery over the last 20 years has had a lot of iterations and phased work that's been going in over there. And we're getting ready to kind of wrap up the last phase where we are adding 8 additional pickleball courts. So if you're a pickleball player, you might know that we already have 16 courts. Now we're adding 8 more for a total of 24 courts out there. We also are adding full court basketball. We don't have a lot of full court basketball, but we're going to have a new one at Pine Nursery. We also did some new access into the dog off-leash area, including from Butler Market. So that's going to be a nice improvement. We took the infields of the softball baseball fields and we replaced it with artificial turf infield and added some lights. That's going to be super helpful for being able to extend the playing season in the fall and the spring timeframe. So those are wrapping up. We also did some improvements on the perimeter trail that goes around. There were some root heave issues, added some kind of downward lighting in that area. So all of those are going to be really helpful additions to Pine Nursery. Often I hear that Pine Nursery is someone's favorite park, and I understand that because there's just so many different types of activities that are going on there. So one by one, all those little amenities are going to be wrapping up probably by September. So that'll be very exciting. And just about that same time, we will be finishing and opening the Art Station, which is at Larkspur Park. So, you know, the Art Station is something, you know, we've been doing art programs for about 7 years now. And we previously had a location that was in the Old Mill District in the old train depot. The Old Mill District kind of needed that space for some of their own purposes. So we have kind of had our art programs in assorted different locations for a while we were kind of aiming to have a new home for it. And so we've built this new facility at Larkspur Park, and it's going to have 3 art rooms and a clay studio and the kiln. It's got really cool windows kind of right out onto the forested area right there. So we are going to have kind of our first programs in there for the art programs about the 3rd week of September. We're planning on having a community open house, kind of drop-in style, come celebrate it and check it out in October. So that'll be really cool because for a lot of people, their form of play is art, whether they're kids or adults. And so it's going to be a pretty cool new location for those activities.
Well, some projects come to a conclusion, but just in time for new projects to step up, because you guys never stand still.
No, we absolutely don't. So yes, we've got a couple other things we're getting started on. Sawyer Park, you know, Sawyer Park is another one. Bird watchers, fishing is really popular at Sawyer Park. We're going to be making some additions there. We're going to improve the parking lot and relocate it closer to O'Reilly Road. We're going to add a permanent restroom. We're going to add a viewing platform and a picnic shelter. So it's not going to change the character of Sawyer Park at all, but we are going to have some of those amenities. So that's going to get started probably in the next couple of weeks. We're just waiting on a couple of last permits. And then Columbia Park. This fall, we're going to get started on Columbia Park. So in kind of the latest in the string of riverfront projects that we're doing. So That one is going to be a lot of riverbank repair, but also adding some of those hardened access points with the terrace boulders there. So we're gonna wait until after the crunch of summer and get started on that this fall.
All right. A lot going on as always. Julie Brown with Ben Parks and Rec. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
FM News 100.1, 1110 KBND.